Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are joined by Mark Feinstein from MLB.com, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mark.
We are doing great. I want to talk. You got a bunch of stuff about talking about the trade deadline and, you know, key players that could be coming up here that maybe can help any team, especially the Indians. I first want to just get your thoughts on what's going on with Major League Baseball and pitchers doctoring the ball and some of the news that we heard from over the weekend. And where do you think this thing's going to go?
I think the league's going to start cracking down a little more, and I think they should. You know, I mean, some pitchers, it's not quite the same as the steroid situation because obviously I think that's another level of cheating. You know, pitchers have been doctoring the ball for years. It's a well-known quote-unquote secret. And, you know, but I think it's gotten to a point where now it's having more of an effect on their stuff and on their breaking balls than it's ever had before. And I think the league wants to, you know, they see the fact that hitting is down and the league's hitting, you know, 220, 230 as a whole. And they want to get some more offense in the game. And I think, you know, cracking down on this will certainly help. And if you're not, you know, sort of pointing out at one or two pitchers and instead you're treating all pitchers the same, then you really can't argue about, you know, being biased against certain teams or certain pitchers. I think it makes all the sense in the world to try to, you know, get rid of as much of this as possible.
And Mark, with all the talk about, you know, let's try moving the mound back, let's ban the shift. If this can take care of the problem, it just puts the game back to where it's supposed to be, does it not?
Sure. You know, I think there's still things to look at in terms of the shift and in terms of the mound. And I like the fact that MLB is working with the minor leagues to, you know, try some of these things in various leagues this year just to see what it looks like, right? See what it looks like to have all four infielders required to have a foot on the infield dirt or to have two guys on each side of the bag. You know, I'm not sure about moving the mound back. I think that would obviously have an impact and give hitters an extra, you know, second or whatever it was to, you know, to recognize the ball. Maybe a 98-mile-an-hour fastball becomes a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, every team's got so many guys who come out of the bullpen just firing in the high 90s. But that said, big league hitters can turn on 98-mile-an-hour fastball. That's not – I've seen plenty of 100-mile-an-hour fastballs go out of the park at, you know, 118 miles an hour. To think that big league hitters have a problem with velocity. But when you're combining the velocity with the extra spin and all of these breaking balls that we're seeing, it certainly makes life harder on the hitters. I don't think you want to tilt it too far the other way where the pitchers are sitting up there feeling helpless, but certainly leveling the playing field would be a good start.
Yeah, Mark, how do we get to this point to where, you know, there's a James Karinchak thing that happened, you know, last week with Steve Stone calling him out on it, or at least it's showing people on TV what he thought was going on. How did we get to this point? And you know, is it a matter of just everybody knew that it was going on, but just nobody wanted to really talk about it? Managers weren't going to turn in other pitchers because they knew their own pitchers were doing it too.
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, for the 16 years that I covered the Yankees, I remember one instance where a manager called out a pitcher, and that was Michael Pineda. And he really had no choice but to call him out because he had a big glob of pine tar on his neck. And there was, you know, when we were watching on TV and you could see it clear as day on the TV camera. So there was really, you know, he got a warning and he didn't wipe it off. And there was just nothing you could do at that point. But I think what you said is right. Managers knew that guys on their own team were doing it. And so if you call them out, they're going to call you out. And all of a sudden you've got a whole storm brewing. So, but I think it's gotten so prevalent and to such a point where, you know, remember 10 years ago, you couldn't measure the spin rates on these pitches. You couldn't really quantify what, you know, that a guy's breaking ball was going from A to B or A to, you know, A squared over the course of a year or over the course of a start. And now you can quantify all of this. And so if you say, well, this guy, his spin rate doubled in the past year, how did that happen? Is it possible he just worked on his breaking pitches and just made them better? Sure. But there's just as likely a chance that, you know, he's getting a little extra help. And I think the fact that you're now hearing a lot of players complain about it is certainly, you know, sort of sparking this wave as well. Because if players are complaining, then the league has to take it, you know, a little more seriously.
On MLB.com, Mark, you, Allison Footer, John Paul Morosi have a real nice conversation about trade deadline talk, and the Indians aren't mentioned anywhere in your conversations. I think that's okay. Is that okay, or should the Indians be thinking one thing or another here? Or is it too early?
We're going to be doing these every week or two, and you know, you can only hit so many teams in the course of a 30-minute conversation. So I don't think it was a matter of saying that the Indians were not going to be active in the coming weeks. I think there are plenty of teams we did not get to just for the lack of time. I'd be surprised if the Indians were completely quiet in the coming weeks, just because they're in a position to make some noise. They're right in the middle of the league in terms of ERA, and but I think with the injuries to the pitching staff, you certainly could see an addition there. And they're, you know, I think right now they're 13th out of 15 teams in the American League in runs scored. So, you know, you look at it, there are certainly areas that they can improve. This is a very winnable division as far as I'm concerned. I think, you know, the White Sox are having a nice season, but they're battling, you know, trying to make up for a couple of big injuries with Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. And the Indians are sitting, what, 4 games out of first place right now, about 60 games into the season. They're right in that mix in the wild card. I know when they traded Lindor, everybody sort of said, oh, this is going to be a lost season. And, you know, if you look at the big picture, they have a negative run differential, which means that they're pretty fortunate to be 5 games over. But I think, you know, a couple tweaks here and there, and there's no reason they can't contend for a playoff spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you feel like the Indians are in it for the Indians should be sticking around for the most of the summer, don't you think?
I would think so. Look, I don't think they're going to go out and make some major acquisitions that are going to add a whole bunch of payroll, because that's not how they operate. But I think if you look at the injuries they've had and the fact that they've been able to stay in the race with, you know, sort of 2 pitchers leading the way and a good bullpen, everybody else kind of, you know, not necessarily pulling their weight at the back of the rotation, the idea of adding a starter or two would certainly be helpful. Now, to me, the big question is what starters are going to be available? Because you've got, I don't know, about 20 or 22 teams who are in striking distance for a postseason spot here. And as we talk on June 8th, and a lot of them would benefit by adding a starting pitcher, if not all of them. So if you only have, let's say, 8 to 10 teams as sellers, chances are those 8 to 10 teams that are out of the race don't have a whole lot of depth in the starting pitching category. There may be a couple of guys who are headed for free agency who could be on the move. I know the name we're going to hear more than any other over the next 7 weeks is going to be Max Scherzer. I don't know that the Indians would be in the mix to add a guy with a salary in the $30 million range. You know, so he'd be making, what, about $10 million over the rest of the year if he gets traded at the deadline. And I'm not even sure the Nationals are going to trade him because, you know, remember a few years ago, Bryce Harper was in a similar situation. They were not in any position to really make a run, and they didn't trade him. I think Scherzer's a different story. He's 37. You're not looking to sign a guy to a 10, 13-year contract. And I don't think trading him automatically rules out a return to Washington either. We saw the Yankees do this 5 years ago. They traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs for Gleyber Torres and then re-signed Chapman in the offseason. So Scherzer could be the big arm that makes a difference, although I think if he does become available, his hometown Cardinals are going to be a team that's really on the hunt for him.
What do the Indians have that another team might want, Mark?
Well, you know, they've got a decent farm system. There's always guys that draw attention. You know, when I hate to try to talk about what players a team might want, because beauty's in the eye of the beholder on these things, right? So you look at a farm system, and one guy may look and say, "Yeah, I'm not really interested in these guys," and another guy may be hot for them. So there are definitely prospects who are going to be in the mix. In terms of big league guys, I think Cesar Hernandez is a guy who could certainly, you know, have interest to a team needing some middle infield help. Eddie Rosario is a guy who I think would have some interest. And, you know, they have some other guys, minors, with Owen Miller, and some other middle infielders that could make Hernandez, you know, sort of available. So there's always stuff that people will want. There are some low-level prospects people might have their eye on. If you want to make a trade, usually you can figure something out.
Mark, it does seem weird, like when we're talking about the Indians and the trade deadline, to think that the Indians would bring in a starting pitcher or try to go out and get a starting pitcher to you know, make a run for it late in the season, because the Indians have had so much success with starting pitching over the last, you can almost go back two decades on this thing, to where the Indians have always been able to call somebody up, put them in the rotation, rather than having to go out and try to bring somebody in at the trade deadline. It just feels a little bit different here with the Indians right now. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, you look at all the pitchers that they've lost in the last few years, and at some point, the well's going to run dry. They've got some guys down below, but, you know, you look at Tristan McKenzie, he's just not having success this year. And if they deem him not quite ready for prime time, then they may look, you know, to replace him and bring an arm in that could, you know, that could help them in their current situation. That doesn't mean they're going to give up on him long term. You know, same thing with a guy like Logan Allen or, you know, but I think, you know, GMs have to look at these things in the short term and the long term. And, you know, I think long term, the Indians will look at a guy like McKenzie and say, he is part of our long-term plan. He's going to be one of our guys going forward. But that said, maybe he's not the guy to help us accomplish the goals for this year. So there's always that balancing act. And when you're in it and you actually have a chance to get to the playoffs when July rolls around, you know, sometimes priorities change and you say, all right, development is one thing, but, you know, the bottom line is wins and losses.
If you're the Indians, do you think, Mark, last thing, real short answer, do you think this is a year where you actually want to trade for somebody, or do you want to develop?
Well, again, I think it depends on who you're trading for. If you're trading for a guy who's got some team control left, you know, you think about some of the acquisitions that the Indians have made, like that summer that the Yankees traded Chapman, they traded Miller to the Indians, and he was not a free agent to be. So you trade for a guy who can help you this year and next year. It's a different story. Teams are shying away from really overpaying for rentals, certainly position player rentals. I mean, look at what, you know, guys like JD Martinez and Manny Machado have brought back in recent years. You don't have to pay a whole lot to bring in a rental hitter. Rental pitchers, there are more teams who are in demand for pitching, so they cost a little more. I don't know. I've always liked Billy Beane's approach to these things, which is if you see a window and you see a chance to contend, you don't get that every year, so you may as well try to make a move or two to go for it and take advantage of that. Because if you're thinking, well, we're going to be better next year, you know, the Twins probably thought last year that they were going to be right into this year, and we see what's happened with them so far. So nothing's guaranteed year to year. If you're in July and you're within striking distance of a playoff spot, you know, I like the idea of going for it.
Mark, let me fire one more last question at you. Do you think the expiring CBA is going to impact the trade deadline?
I think it could to some extent in terms of taking on a lot of payroll going beyond 2021. I think the other place you could see it impact is players who are going to be free agents in 2022. So guys who have one more year of control left. Right now, anybody who's a free agent this year, you know the qualifying offer process is still going to be in place for this offseason. So you're going to get some compensation if you lose a guy who turns down the qualifying offer. We don't know if the qualifying offer is going to exist in 2022 on the new CBA. So you could see a team like the Twins, going back to Minnesota, looking at guys like Berrios and Buxton, Taylor Rogers, who have 1 year left on their deal after this year, and saying, we don't know what that situation is going to be a year from now. And if we don't think we can re-sign them long-term, maybe we're better off getting something for them now versus risking the idea of them leaving as a free agent and us not getting the compensation that we would get under the current system. So I think that could be somewhere that you see some impact in terms of, you know, what teams are willing to trade and sort of how they're approaching these guys coming up in the next year or two.
Mark, great stuff. We're going to look for you at MLB Network and MLB.com as well. So thank you. We appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll talk to you a little bit closer to the trade deadline too.
Anytime, fellas.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.